Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined by George Goncalves, MUFG's head of U.S. macro strategy. It's Tuesday, October 25th, 2022. Welcome back to the podcast, George.
Great to be back on, John.
Yeah, always good to have you. Feel like it's been 2 weeks since we were last on, and predictably it feels more like 2 months. As discussed before, 2022 is a year where days feel like weeks, and weeks, I think at this point, are almost like dog years. But as our listeners may recall, in the last episode, you previewed CPI as well as the FOMC minutes. And I would say that they largely played out as you advertised, i.e. risks were skewed to the upside, or you said rather that risks were skewed to the upside for the CPI print, which is, you know, and it ended up printing hot, you know, and hawkishly for the FOMC minutes. I'd argue that the reaction in the rates market since then, you know, perhaps absent today, you know, with rates continuing to ratchet higher, and we're now, you know, let's call it 4% plus across the entire Treasury yield curve, I'd argue that all makes sense and probably was in line with what you're expecting. Whereas I wonder if the reaction in risk markets, which have fared better, you know, arguably than I would think you would expect, that's sort of how I'd kind of characterize the two reactions. So I'd be curious if you agree, and if so, you know, what your take on recent price action is.
No, yeah, it does feel like there's like a bearish exhaustion that has happened in the risk markets more so than in the rates markets. I think we now have four across the board, as we've been kind of calling it, on the yield curve. It makes sense. I mean, the Fed's going to most likely raise rates at the next meeting up to the 4% upper bound, upper channel, and it's going to be hard to justify having other rates under the curve unless the market starts to kind of really start pricing in a very imminent cutting cycle, which the market was trying to do that earlier in the year, but has been forced to always reassess that. But what's been most perplexing has indeed been the risk market response. And I think, there was a lot of just positioning movements and big, big forces that took place in September into the end of quarter three, that kind of third quarter finish, even though we've seen lower risk assets or lower values and the S&P or the just the stock indices in the U.S. between quarter end until now. Yeah, there's been a tone of bouncing off the bottoms, and looks like markets trying to at least form some sort of bottom, even if it ends up being temporary. We've seen both bad news and good news really not result in what you would typically expect, given where we are in the cycle. I think it must be bearish exhaustion. It's been a rough year, and I do think that there's just position spillover that went into the early part of October. We've seen a couple big bounces. We're in another one right now. And speaking of the stock market, but I do think the jury's still out if this is indeed even if it's a temporary counter trend move by risk assets after, a lot of selling pressure post the summer, if it's, a counter trend move, how long do these counter trend moves last within a bear market cycle? We have the Fed coming up, we have the US midterm elections, and then, it's a beeline from there into the holidays and into the end of the year. So I think that, this could be just a temporary positioning realignment, probably too soon for what is typically known as the Santa Claus rally or the end of year rally to start off in October. I think, there's some key levels in mind. Like most technicians, we're looking at around 3,800 on the S&P, and based on price action at the time of recording, it looks like we're beyond that. The question really then becomes, is there enough follow through, and how will the rest of the earnings seasons look like? I think jury's still out. I think the bond market has been reacting to the macro variables in the right way, and with the Fed still ahead of us, still think and at least one more meeting at the end of the year where they're going to raise as well. Still think it's premature to suggest the dust is clear and that markets have priced in what will notably still be a pretty decent slowdown in the first half of next year, given all of the kind of leading indicators that we track.
Yeah, for sure. And just, you know, a little bit, we were talking about this before before recording, but, you know, slightly before recording, Senate Banking Chair Brown, you know, apparently wrote a letter to Chair Powell, you know, pointing out the consequences of, you know, or the negative consequences of monetary tightening. You know, that's very topical, and that sort of, you know, inflation and inflation has become very political, you know, monetary policy becoming political, you know, that adds to risks like that you highlight, like the Fed's coming up, midterm elections are coming up, we're in the middle of earnings. So it'll be interesting to see if the market's able to close above, the stock market rather is able to close above 3,800 here. And then, you know, as you kind of alluded to, there's plenty of wood to chop for December 31st, you know, a number of the things that I just mentioned, but year end is quickly approaching. So why don't we do this? Let's finish the episode with a few of the likely scenarios you see playing out into year end, as well as some of the risks you're watching for.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, liquidity is always precious, at this time of the year. You know, we, you know, are just, you know, looking at the dispersion within, you know, for example, the treasury market, which has also garnered a lot of focus about on the run, off the run liquidity, and, you know, will there be a need for even the idea of a treasury buyback and to try to you know, reliquify certain sectors of the treasury curve. So there is clearly and has been all year long, both as a function of the higher rate environment, higher volatility, and QT happening at the same time. You're really the perfect storm for rates, and also, you know, the movements in the mortgage market, that, you know, between now and year end, with liquidity being, you know, precious and balance sheets not being as open or willing and able to warehouse risk. I mean, the concerns I have, again, it's been building, it's been a crescendo of sorts, but I'm really worried about just general end of year liquidity, access to funding, and then how does that then translate to the FX markets and what's happening in the dollar, and just dollar funding. So I think that's the, you know, it's not necessarily a scenario. Those are more the risk factors. I think, you know, the market, you know, has priced in for the most part what the Fed will likely deliver. So you could argue that, you know, in theory is priced in for the rates markets, but I'm not sure if it's actually accounted for in other asset classes, like I alluded to in the first part. And the dollar funding part is the most ambiguous concept out there to try to, like, ascertain, like, you know, how liquid and how flush is the funding markets into the end of the year, after which has been, you know, again, the worst bond market in history, or like one of the worst since we've been keeping data on bond market returns. You know, do losses get crystallized? Is there, you know, house cleaning towards the end of the year that results in some uneconomic flows that could be disruptive to the market? Like, those are the risk factors. What probably, like, you know, I think my base case is that the Fed will deliver on the hikes and get, like, close to their dots. And so the base case is that we still get, you know, into the four handles for Fed funds. Rates markets will start to then look for any signals on the pivot. I mean, everyone's, you know, on pivot watch and trying to see if the Fed's pivoting, which, again, I keep trying to force people to, you know, rephrase that. It's more the Fed's going on pause, not pivoting. They're not going to, like, go from hiking to easing right away. So, you know, they're going to, you know, get rates as high as possible, then take a breather. So, like, anything that gives us signals that they're about to, you know, either end it or give us the criteria for that, you know, the bond market could rally after that. I think that, you know, after such a rough year, I wouldn't be surprised to see an end of year rally, but not starting yet. And we have to see, really, quite frankly, you know, the outcome of the midterm elections, which, you know, we'll plan to hopefully do a podcast before that and put out some content as well, you know, covering the potential scenarios around that event, because that might, you know, change things altogether.
Yeah, thanks for that, George. So it sounds like, you know, you're concerned about liquidity into year end, which makes a lot of sense. You know, dollar funding costs, you know, FX you know, swaps like dollar yen as examples, is I wouldn't necessarily say flashing warning signs, but certainly flashing a, you know, excessive demand or flashing, you know, some sort of demand for dollars, you know, more so than at least last year, you know, risk assets, you know, perhaps to have a little bit more pain to go. But certainly will be an interesting end to the year. Before we wrap up, I would definitely like to remind our listeners, for those of you who are not receiving George's strategy reports directly, please do reach out to George and get on his distribution list. You can reach him via email or Bloomberg. Good stuff as always, George. Thanks again for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, John.
And thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.